Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the third episode of the Tucker's Corner podcast. Today, I will be joined by my good friend, Zach Nipper, as we will discuss the top five left backs in the world. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to stay tuned to the end to find out more about the fourth episode of the Tucker's Corner podcast, as well as important announcements for the future of Tucker's Corner. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. All right, welcome back to the Tucker's Corner podcast. It's been 3 weeks since episode 2, but I am back and I'm here with my good friend, Zach Nipper, to discuss the top five left backs in the world. Zach, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Good to be on the podcast with my good friend, Tucker.
Yeah, so Zach and I have played soccer together since we were 5 years old. Zach, you want to tell them a bit about yourself from a soccer standpoint? So
yeah, like Tucker said, we've been playing since we were about 5, which means we've been friends and teammates for a very long time. I obviously play left back, and I've been playing left back for about, say, as a starter for about 6-7 years, about now. So I should know what to do and what not to do in the position.
Yeah, so I brought Zach in for this one for some insight from a left back point of view. Obviously, last time we did the strikers with Johnny, and so today we're with Zach. So yeah, we're gonna be going over the top five left backs in the world and giving ours and discussing it sort of. So yeah, you ready, man?
I am ready.
All right, would you like for me to give my first five or my number five first, or would you like to give yours first?
You're the host, you can go first.
All right, so my number five is going to be Fousi Ghoulam from Napoli. 253 appearances and only 4 goals, but 31 assists. And some of his strengths, he holds onto the ball well, passing, he's good in the air and crossing. But sometimes he can be a bit weak tackling and does make mistakes defensively with diving in and stuff. But overall, pretty solid. In the transfer market, he's listed at 26, or his worth is 26 million. Definitely easy to put him at number 5 out of my 5. But I think that he deserves to be in there in the top 5. So, yeah.
Makes sense. He plays for Napoli, right? Napoli.
Yeah, Napoli. He's their left back.
It's a good, decent team to be a top 5 left back in.
Yeah, for sure. They have a good squad, actually. They beat Liverpool,
with the back line consisting of the Hazaj is their right back, I believe. And Koulibaly, another world-class center back, of course, obviously. So yeah, for sure. A good back line to stay in Europe.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Would you like to give your number 5 now?
Right here I have my number 5 is Marcelo. He would have been higher a few years ago, but since he has gotten older and other left backs are starting to emerge from the ranks, he fits in at number 5 for me. He's got a very good tackle success rate at 50%, an 86 pass accuracy, which means he's really good passing. And this season, he has a total of 270 passes attempted, 68 passes completed per match, and 91 touches per match. Go on.
He's one of the most skilled players to ever play left back.
Yes,
like,
he could almost
be a forward.
Pretty much. He could probably play like in the midfield, on the wing, or like a false nine, maybe.
Yeah.
He could fit in anywhere.
Any position. Yeah, he's one of the most skilled players, left backs of all time, for sure. You can go ahead, sir.
And I was just going to say he has a decent shot accuracy as a left back, which don't necessarily need to be having a good shot accuracy, but Marcelo does have a good shot on him at 67%, which is good.
And the hard thing about judging left backs versus strikers is like with strikers, you can look at it and be like, okay, how many goals and how many games? You know what I'm saying? Like, but with left backs, it's a lot harder, and it's hard to find the stats where it's like, you know, their percentages on, especially defensively and everything.
You go into like tackles won, tackles attempted, like, yeah.
And aerial duels. Hard to find. Yeah, it can be really hard to find that too. Like, you know, doing your research, it can be hard to find those kind of stats on the internet. So, like, and reliable, you know what I'm saying? Keeping it reliable. So, like, with the left backs, especially, like, obviously strikers, there's a little bit of it. When you're ranking players, there's going to be a little bit of it. But it's, like, kind of to your eye. Like, you watch it. You watch them play.
It's a bit simpler for strikers.
For sure. Yeah. The numbers don't lie as much with as left backs, you know, it lies a lot.
But you gotta really look for them. You gotta really look for the key stats.
Yeah. Right. So I think Marcelo is a pretty solid pick. The reason I didn't have Marcelo in is just because, like, he has dropped a lot.
Yes.
And obviously Real Madrid is not living up to their standards and not living up to, you know, their normal hype. So I do think, I mean, he's obviously a world-class player. He's obviously a legend, you know, when he retires, he'll go down as a legend, but, I don't know. It was hard for me to put him in the list as of right now, but in his career, definitely.
I didn't think of Gulam because I don't think, yes, he's a good left back, but not as many people know him as Marcelo.
He's much more low key.
Yeah. Not many people watch Serie A as much as they do La Liga.
Yeah.
So,
and even people if you more don't familiar. Watch La Liga,
yeah.
Even if you don't watch La Liga, it's like Marcelo is just a big name in the sport in general. Like being on Brazil and the flair that he plays with. You know, you see him on YouTube and stuff like that because of all of his skills and tricks. If anyone does those kind of skills and tricks, I mean, it doesn't really matter how efficient, how good they are. If they can pull those things off, they're going to be big in the eyes of the media because we're obsessed with, you know, the nutmegs and the little skills. And we don't see the, you know, 100 times it doesn't work. You know, when it does work, it's a big deal. And not saying Marcelo, it doesn't work for Marcelo because it does. But, you know, obviously Marcelo is going to be one of those players that everyone's drawn to because of his skill.
And yeah, especially as a defender. You would see most of that stuff as from an attacker or maybe a midfielder. But as a defender, throwing out all those skills, knowing that he has all that confidence.
Yeah,
it really stands out.
Yeah, that's so true because of the part of the field he's in. It's just like even more risky, which makes it even more exciting. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, all right. So my number four is gonna be Andy Robertson. So obviously, he deserves to be on the list if you're looking at like right now in the world, and I think in a few years he'll be even higher in the list. Like, I don't think he's peaked yet, but he's been outrageously good this like past 2 years, really 2-3 years. He's just been so good. Liverpool actually got him for £8 million, which is ridiculous, and now his current market value is at 68.4 mil. So I think they actually paid $10 million for him, but that's nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I think they signed him. Like, I think his contract initially was $8 million, but I think they had to pay $10 million total to have him on the team, with like buying him out and stuff. But he's when I wrote these stats down, these are a little bit outdated, I think. But he had 124 Premier League appearances, 36 clean sheets, 230 tackles, 63% tackle success, which is ridiculous. 235 clearances, 3 goal line clearances, 0 own goals, and he's only messed up one time that led to a goal. So one error that led to a goal in his whole career, with 23 assists. And he's just been really good. He's a really good crosser. Saw that in the Man City match. He played a beautiful ball to Salah. I don't know if you saw that. Beautiful ball.
It's really good.
Yeah, curls it. He just curls it right on a dot to the person in the box. It's just.
He's been doing that for the past 2 seasons. Constantly doing that cross right to the striker or the midfielder, whoever's in the box for him.
Yeah, it's so consistent, and he curls it and he puts it in a way that it's perfectly out of the defender's reach and perfectly into the striker's reach or whoever's there to finish it. It's insane that, like, the way he curls the ball and puts enough pace on it to where literally the striker or whoever's in the box, all they have to do is just get a touch to it, and there's enough pace on it that it's going to go in. It's just, he's really fun to watch. He's quick. He's
got that fire mentality.
He works hard. Yeah. He's really exciting to watch. He's never gotten a red card either in the Premier League, which for a defender, you know, It's pretty good. He's got 39 yellows, but no reds. So
his crosses are also where they catch out the defenders and also catch out the goalie, because his crosses have the curl on it where it looks like it's going to the goalie, so the goalie's going to come out and try and catch it. But when he comes out, it instantly curls away from him to the striker, so now the striker's an open net.
Yeah, and then the keeper's in no man's land. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a really intelligent player. Like, he's got the physical, the physical making to be a very, very good outside back, but he's also got the mentality too, where he doesn't get beat. He doesn't allow others to beat him, and he makes the right plays at the right time. He scored a really huge goal a couple weeks ago versus Aston Villa. Aston Villa, yeah. With, I think it was like the 85th minute or maybe even, no, it was like 88th minute, actually.
Yep.
It was the 88th minute, and it was a header. Just being in the right place, being smart, getting in the right place in the box. Mane, I'm pretty sure, put a really good cross on that, but still, it's just like the intelligence and stuff and the work rate to be able to do that, because being an outside back on Liverpool is not easy. Because
no.
Salah and Mane will not come back. So they're going to stay up there. So being a midfielder and being an outside back in Liverpool, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of up and down. They're almost playing as wing backs a lot of times. But when they do it right, it's so hard to defend because of how good Mane and Salah are already, one-on-one. But then when, you know, you add outside backs like Alexander-Arnold and Robertson that can get in and be dangerous, it just makes it so much more effective. So I think that he adds so much to Liverpool that isn't even seen half the time. So, yeah.
And it's not like he came from a big club to Liverpool. He only came from Hull City, who got relegated that year. And he's young too. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
And he's still got about 12-14 more good seasons in him. And maybe.
I love watching him play. Honestly, it's just.
Yeah.
I love his story. I love everything about him. He's a hard worker. He's a decent guy. Yeah. You know, so,
as much as it pains me to say it, as a Man United fan, I like watching him too.
Yeah. Well, I would say I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek or whatever. He is. I have him as the best outside back in the Premier League. He's the only Premier League left back I have.
Yeah.
Not outside back, but left back. Yeah. He's the only Premier League left back I have.
Only the same here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to do your number four now?
Okay, so my number four is the Austrian David Alaba. He's been at Bayern a long time, but he's only 27 years old.
Mm.
He's got really good shot accuracy, even better than Marcelo's. He has this season. He's gotten 304 total passes, 79 passes per game, and 101 touches per game. And he's got a 90% pass accuracy. He's completed half his tackles, and he's got a pretty high cross accuracy rate where you can find a striker in the box also. Which, yeah, he's been at Bayern Munich for, it seems like, a long time.
It does.
He's been there since, like, 2012, when I think it was that was the year they won the Champions League. Or no, that was the year they came second, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's been there for a long time.
He has. It seems like he's been there forever. And his pace, he just opens a lot up for Bayern, I feel like. Same with Robertson, but he does. He opens up a lot. And you said 90% pass accuracy. That's really important. I mean, when you're playing anywhere in the back line, you can't turn the ball over. There's so little room for error. And that probably includes crossing, I'd imagine. So thinking about that too, adding that, you know, that just further makes it more interesting and exciting that he's rarely turns the ball over. He's a really key player for them.
Yeah, and it's another important back line that he's on with David Alaba, Joshua Kimmich, and also Rafinha in the past years. Past year is also Jerome Boateng. He's played with some world-class center backs, Jerome Boateng, Mats Hummels, Nico Sul. Yes. There's another one. Benjamin Pavard this year, this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a well-built back line where you can't have any mistakes.
Yeah, because – and really with all of these clubs, because they're so good, but – with Bayern, a lot, you know, there's a lot of depth. They can replace you quick if you're making mistakes, but he's never really had a problem with that. As soon as he's
coming, he's always been consistent.
He's been, yeah, very consistent. He's probably been the most consistent out of all of the Bayern back line over the years. I mean, him and Boateng are the only ones that have really been there since, the whole time since they've been there. But even then, I think he's been really, really consistent.
And yeah, he's he can also play center back, and I've seen him play center defensive mid at times, which is good. You need to be able to move around in the system.
Yeah, and they also have Lucas Hernandez as well, who's a very strong player. Yeah,
he just recently came from Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
So yeah, good competition at the left back spot, but David Alaba beats him.
Yeah, and my number three is also David Alaba. So yeah, I mean, he's really impressive player. He opens up a lot of things for Bayern Munich. He's worth 62.7 mil on the transfer market as well. So if you're looking to buy him for your team, Golden Ball, we might sign him. We might need a new left back over Zach. We just got to get the funds together. 62 mil, and we can have David Alaba. I'm sure he would be down, right? He would be Bayern for us, right?
Yeah, he'd be down.
Would you feel slighted if Alaba took your position?
I mean, if it was a swap deal, swap deal to Bayern Munich.
No complaints. No complaints there for Zach.
David Alaba does complete swap deal with Zach Nipper. Hey, Bayern Munich signed another American. What do you know?
That would be sick. I'll go with you, man. I'm cool with that. All right. So, yeah, David Alaba is my number three. So, yeah, we already talked about him and how important he is to Bayern Munich. So, who's your number three?
My number three is, right now, is the second-choice Brazilian left-back, Alexandre of Juventus.
Okay.
He's got 50% shot accuracy, which you can expect a low shot accuracy from fullbacks. And he's attacking, but he doesn't intend to take a lot of shots. He's taken 432 passes this year, 62 passes per game, and 89 touches per game. He's got a good stat here of 67% aerial duels won. And being a fullback, I can explain, aerial duels are very tough when you're shorter than your center backs and you're going up against big strikers. He's also got 11 vital clearances, and he's got a 44% tackle success rate. And also 88% pass accuracy. So all the fullbacks that we're probably mentioning have very high pass accuracy rate, which is very good.
Yeah, it's so crucial because of, yeah, like we said before with Alaba, where you are on the field, there's little room for error, and especially at the level that they play, such a high level of professional football. If you turn the ball over, it's coming right back at you. And if you get away with it once, you're not going to get away with it twice. So
these fullbacks are playing in the biggest league, all the top five nations leagues they're playing in, so you cannot make a mistake,
and that's why they're so good, because they're being tested, you know what I'm saying? So they have to prove themselves each week against some really quality wingers. And I feel like there are some really great wingers in the Premier League. I was gonna say that like La Liga is just, I feel like it would be so hard to be an outside back in, just because how quick, the wingers are.
You got the style of play. The likes of, obviously, Messi, Dembele, Griezmann, Suarez. Well, I'm just naming Barcelona right now.
No, but yeah. There's just like, and you can, it's not even just like on Barca, it's just like throughout the league. Just the style of play in La Liga. It's just, there's so much dribbling. I feel like the Premier League is like a lot of spreading the ball wide, putting balls in the box, winning headers,
maybe more possession based
and strikes. Yeah, but more possession based. Yeah, a lot of passing. But in La Liga, it's a lot of quick passes and dribbling. And so being an outside back, you're separated. Obviously, Alexandre plays in Serie A, but still.
Each Serie league has their own style of play.
Yeah, for sure. Very different style of play. I have Alexandre on my number two. So the one thing about Alexandre that you have to watch out for is he does commit fouls often. He's got 84 yellow cards in his career, which is a lot, but he's played in 362 appearances.
Yes.
he's got 14 goals and 40 assists, which that's 40 assists is pretty impressive. And like I said, he likes to tackle, but he can commit a lot of fouls. He's not the best crosser, but he's got very good passing. He's a very good dribbler. Like you said earlier, he wins a lot of balls in the air. He holds onto the ball well. He's a good tackler. He's a mentally tough guy. He's not easy to beat. But you're not going to beat him with the ball. That's the thing. You're either going to get the ball past him, and you're going to get taken down, or he's going to get the ball and go the other way. So he's a winner, too. He's won Copa America once. He's won Serie A 4 times. He's won Italian Cup, like the League Cup, 3 times. Yep. He's a Portuguese champion twice. He's Italian Super Cup winner, Copa Libertadores winner, and Portuguese Super Cup winner 3 times. So he's won
a Champions League finalist, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, right? So he's won. He's proven himself throughout his career. He's just at 51.3 million right now on the transfer market, which makes him cheaper to buy than both Alaba and Robertson at the moment. But with that being said, he just proves himself each game, and he's very consistent. And he's just a tough guy to get by. You don't go by Alexander.
Yeah. You're either gonna get past him, and he's gonna get the technical foul and take one for the team and get that yellow that he can do, or he's just gonna stop you in your tracks right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's getting either ball or person.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I don't have as much left back. I mean, yellow cards as him.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I have my fair share of them, but not as many as him.
Yeah. All right, you're number two.
My number two is Jordi Alba of Barcelona. We're back to Barcelona players. He's been around Barcelona a long time now. He's been there since, I think, 2012 also. He's 30 years old. He's got a good shot accuracy, but I've watched Jordi Alba a lot, he doesn't take a lot of shots. He's got 89% pass accuracy, which is up there with all the other left backs as well. A 75% tackle success rate, which is very good. He's got 442 total passes and 88 passes per game and 108 touches per game, which is very good stats.
Yeah. Huh. You have Jordi Alba as second, so I'm assuming you would have Robertson as first.
Not saying anything yet. It might be Luke Shaw or something like that.
All right, whatever. Yeah, it might be Luke Shaw. That's interesting to me. I have Jordi Alba as my number one. But I think I don't know. I had a hard time putting anyone above him. It seems like he's been at Barca for forever. Like,
yeah,
my whole life. Like, it seems like he's always been at Barca. Like, he just, I don't know. I can't believe he's only 30. To me, it seems like he's so much older. Like,
he definitely doesn't look 30 when you see him play. Yeah. He doesn't look like he's still got all that pace. His facial expressions don't really look like he's 30. He's still got all that pace. He's still got all that. He's got all that experience now.
Yeah, but even then, like, it just feels like he's been around forever. Like, it doesn't look like he's 30. It doesn't look like he's old or anything like that. And I'm not saying that from a playing standpoint that he seems old, but it feels like he's been on Barcelona for forever. But anyways, yeah, he's played 348 appearances. I have 18 goals, 60 assists. Obviously, those numbers have changed because these stats are a little bit old, but he likes to get forward. He's good, quick, short passes, which is what Barcelona is. You know, lots of tiki-taka. Yeah. That's their style of play. He doesn't dive in. He's a very good passer. He holds onto the ball well. He intercepts the ball well. He's very smart. But he's weaker on the aerial duels because of his size, really. He's not the biggest guy at all. But he's just so quick. He gets forward so well. He's electric to watch, honestly. He's really, really fun to watch. Barcelona in general is just a really fun team to watch. But Jordi Alba really contributes well. And then they have Semedo on the other side. Two very, very quick outside backs that can get forward and just really exciting to watch. He's won Euro. He's won Champions League, but one time for each. He's a five-time La Liga winner, four-time Spanish Cup winner, so the domestic cup, four-time Super Cup winner for Spain and for La Liga, and then he's a one-time FIFA Club World Cup winner. So he's had a pretty successful career at Barcelona. Yes. And even at his age of 30, he's still worth 57 mil, which would be, I think, third behind Alaba and Robertson, which are two younger guys. But even for the fact that he's 30, being 57 mil is ridiculous.
I feel like a lot of people think when a player hits maybe their hits their 30s or maybe their late 20s, like 28, 29, I feel like that's sloped down. I don't really see that a lot because players take Ibrahimovic for Zlatan. He's about 38 now, and he's still scored like what 40 goals in MLS this past season, two seasons. But some players they get better with age, like Zlatan does. I think Zlatan's getting better with age, but maybe Jordi Alba will do that too. Jordi Alba's still really good, and he's still learning, still getting better. Yeah, and he's still in a really good Barcelona side.
Well, you have to take into account though with Zlatan that he is in the MLS. Like
we're talking about MLS is nice.
It's hard for me to say that Zlatan's getting better with age. Well, I think he's still very successful. Yes.
He's still proving people wrong.
Proving people wrong. He's always proved people wrong. Yeah. And I would say that he's still very successful. Yes. Like he's scoring lots of goals and everything. But I wouldn't say he's better. Like in his prime, quote unquote, like back when he was at PSG, you know, in the man for Sweden, right? Like back in those days, if he was in the MLS, I can't even imagine what he would do. But I think I wouldn't say he's dropped off as much as maybe we thought he did, because when we were at Man United, he wasn't the same Ibra that he was.
He was good.
He was good, but
he's not. He wasn't as good as he was at PSG.
Yeah. Yes. And so we kind of were like, oh, he's going to MLS now. He's finished. You know. He wasn't as good as he was before. So he's kind of falling down, and now he's going to MLS. He's off the cliff completely. But then he's showing people like, hey, I'm still here, you know. And he's still consistent. He's still very, very good. But I still wouldn't say he's playing his best that he's played his career. With Jordi Alba, there will be a certain time where he does start to fall off because of his style of play, because of his position especially. You know, I'd say if he was like a holding mid or something like that, maybe he'd have, you know, a longer amount of time until he starts to fall off. But at the same time, he is still killing it. Like, he's still the best outside back. Still the best left back. So, yeah, I would definitely say that, even with his age. And I would also argue that, yeah, he is getting better with time as well. Because he is growing in not just physical in ways and like, external ways, but also his understanding of the game and everything like that. And it helps when you're on Barca and you have such talented players around you as well that can help you create opportunities and stuff like that. But yeah, I would agree with that to an extent. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
So I guess it's your turn for number one, as we talked about Jordi Alba. So basically, to recap, you have listed every single player that I have pretty much right before I could. My number three was David Alaba, and your number four was David Alaba. And then my number two was Alexandro, and that's where your number three was. And then my number one was Jordi Alba, and yours was number two. So now you're just going to throw out a shocker.
And my number one is Luke Shaw. No, I'm playing. My number one is Andrew Robertson, obviously, from Scotland for Liverpool. From what he's done in the past, now his third season at Liverpool. It's just what he's done has just completely changed the game for left backs. What did he get last season? Like 11 assists in the Premier League? Him and Alexander-Arnold had probably like 11 assists each. That is incredibly insane for a fullback.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just, his pass accuracy off the charts. His cross accuracy is off the chart. his he has that fiery mentality where he's not going to back down from everybody. Probably saw in the Champions League semifinal last year when he was just talking a bunch of crap to Messi, and Messi still is every season getting his 30, 40, upper 40s goals a season. Robertson's just not gonna do anything. He's not gonna let him do that to Liverpool. He just shut Messi down that game.
Yeah, and I remember this from the highlights. I think I watched the inside Anfield video. So the second leg of the Barcelona and Liverpool match, Robertson makes a very strong challenge, we'll say. Quite questionable whether it was illegal or not. Looked pretty much like a foul to me, but a very strong challenge on Messi, introducing him to England and to the Premier League as they play. Not to say La Liga is soft, but there is a lot more exaggerating in La Liga. And he makes a very hard challenge, and Messi just gets up like, looks around like, are you serious right now? And Robertson just talks trash and just gets in his face, and that put Messi off. And that was his fiery energy, his spark that he brings. It's so helpful in more than one way. So he pushes Liverpool as well. So yeah, I have him as number four, obviously, like I say. And my reasoning, I guess, for having him as number four is, like, he's been very good past two seasons. You can argue he has been, probably, you can say he has been the best left back in the world for the past 2 years. I would probably not debate that.
Because you're a Liverpool fan.
And yeah, I mean, partly, yes, but also because of the numbers and what he has done and how influential he's been and what Liverpool has done the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But also looking at it, that if we were looking at current form, then you could say, oh, Jamie Vardy and Tammy Abraham are the two best strikers in the world or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So in that way, you have to respect Jordi Alba, Alexandro, and, you know, David Alaba for what they have done consistently over the past, what, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever years. Do I think Robertson has a chance to become the best left back in the world and maybe even of all time? Who's to say he can't? But right now, where he is in his career and where they have been and what they have done in their careers, that's why I have him at number four. I fully expect him to climb the list up. Maybe even to number one, but I fully expect him to climb that list throughout his career.
Yeah.
Did I say that well?
If he's not already there, he will get there at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that.
And it's not like, I was gonna point out, it is not like in that Champions League semifinal game against Barcelona. It's not like you watch Messi. He's not gonna go down, even though his stature is small, he's not going to go down easy. So when
he doesn't, yeah.
When Robertson puts that fiery aspect into the game, you just know his play is just impacting Liverpool's play so much that they went on to win 4-0.
Yeah, and I mean, when you see a teammate do that, you know, whenever Zach makes a big tackle, a left back, or anyone on our team. Whenever you see someone make a play like that, especially on a player like Messi, you know, when you're not expecting them to make a play like that, it sparks you so much. You're like, heck yeah, I want to go to battle for this guy. I want to go, you know, work hard for him because he's willing to put his body on the line. He's willing to do that, the nitty gritty stuff to win a match. And like that little stuff matters so much more than you can even realize when it's happening. You know what I'm saying? So for him to not be intimidated at all by, in my opinion, the greatest player in the world, if not of all time, it's really impressive. And in that stage, when you're down 3-0 on aggregate, to still have that attitude where it's like,
to still believe
by me. Yeah, exactly. That's so important and so impressive, and it speaks volumes about his mentality and his character as a player. Yep. So are there any changes that you would make to your list after us going through our five?
I don't know. I feel like I'm happy with my list, but there might be some left backs on the outside looking in the future. I don't know if I could name some right now, but there are definitely, I know of some other left backs that did not make the list that can definitely make it in the near future.
I'm trying to think, because Chilwell is coming to my mind.
Yes, Ben Chilwell is, him and Luke Shaw are competing for England's top left back spot, but I think Ben Chilwell's gotten beat right now. Yeah. Because Luke Shaw's been injured for like 3 months or something. And who else? I'm not sure. Wow.
It's all right.
Oh, I know he's not really highly regarded, highly thought of, but I think Juan Bernat of PSG has been, since he left Bayern Munich, not getting enough game time of David Alaba. He has really progressed at PSG.
Yeah. He's much more low key too. I would say
he scored some very decisive goals to get them through the knockout stages last season. I think he scored against Napoli, and I think he scored against Liverpool. I'm not sure. Last season, but whatever. He's cemented his place in the PSG squad. I know that.
And he's flown under the radar primarily because if you're at PSG and you're not Mbappe, Neymar, Cavani, Verratti, like when you're playing at PSG and you're not one of those big guys, like even if you're not even like even really just the back line, I feel like it's hard to get credit when there's so many stars there. Like that offense is just electric, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like no one's really gonna think too much about the back line, but I think mine, I might move Alexandro back, but I don't know who I would be willing to put as number two. Because, like, I'm not sure if I'm sold enough on David Alaba, you know what I'm saying, to push him to number two. So I think I would probably just keep mine where it is as well. Because I feel like three is fair for David Alaba. Like, that's a fair number. And I'm just hesitant to maybe push him to two. But then I'm also thinking I could maybe switch Robertson and Alaba in my mind. But right now, I think mine's fine at the moment. Someone will come for Ghoulam. I'm sure of it. If we did it in a year from now, I'm sure I would have someone else at that number five. But I think he's still pretty quality. So, all right. So here's the next segment. I'm going to start this thing now. Johnny answered it. Johnny said last time that Messi is the greatest player in the world and called out Justin Borgren and said, hey, sorry, man, but Messi is the best player in the world. Who is the best player in the world?
It has to be Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. It's Messi, Lionel Messi, 100%. From what he's done, what he's done at Barcelona, he can even at his size, he can play striker and still score 35-plus goals a season. We've seen him do that in the past. But now that they've had Suarez for a few years, he's playing off the right, and he's still banging in 35-plus goals a season. And you just don't really see that in anywhere else.
It seems to me that people that don't watch soccer or don't know much about soccer are the ones that are first to say Ronaldo's the best in the world. Because if you look at Ronaldo's stats, you look at his stature, you look at him in general, right? You think, he's just perfect. You know what I'm saying? He's the perfect mold to be the greatest player in the world. But if you watch Messi play, you always know he's out there. You always know he's on the field. He's always touching the ball. He's getting in position. He'll be playing right wing, and you'll see him all the way on the left side of the field just to receive the ball and go make something happen. He's always working on, especially on offense, not really, you know, he doesn't really play much defense, but because of how much he does on offense, how much running, how much work he does on offense, you can forgive him for that. But you know he's on the field no matter what. And Ronaldo, he drifts away some matches. You don't know he's there.
He doesn't really work. He doesn't work back as much as Messi.
He doesn't dictate the game like Messi does. Messi just absolutely dictates the game. Makes everyone around him better. He makes the game completely different. Like, if you know, you always know where Messi is on the field and that he's on the field. Because 90% of the time, he has the ball, it seems. So,
yeah.
Messi, I agree. Messi is the best player in the world. I'm just going to keep asking everyone that when I do an episode with them, because I think it's an important question to answer. And so far, three people have been on the Tucker's Corner podcast, and three have said Messi. When I get Justin on in here, he will be the first to say Ronaldo. But for now, Messi is ruling Tucker's Corner podcast as the favorite, as the best player in the world. But yeah, so we've gone through our top five left backs in the world. You had Andy Robertson as the best. I had Jordi Alba. But other than that, pretty similar list, pretty similar guys. Only difference, I mean, we had four of our five guys with the exact same. You had Marcelo, I had Goulam. But other than that, very similar list for the top five.
Yep.
So yeah, thanks for joining, dude. It was honestly a pleasure to have you on.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, dude, it was really good talking to you about the game and stuff. Your insight was great. Just want to thank you for coming on and giving your insight as a left back and just providing another voice for this discussion and just talking to me and stuff. So
thank you very much for inviting me onto the Tucker's Corner podcast.
Of course, man. Well, it won't be the last time.
Yes. Looking forward to the next.
Yes, sir. All right. It was good speaking to you, Zach. Have a great rest of your day and good luck in the rest of your season. I love back. Hopefully you make a very quick return to play from your injury. Looking forward to seeing you back on the field.
Me too, bro. Me too, bro. Thank you very much.
Of course. See you, buddy.
See ya.
Thank you for sticking around to the end of the episode. Next episode, I will be recording with my good friend Justin Borgren as we discuss the Premier League title race and who still is involved. I will also be posting on my blog more. I will be planning on posting each day, so stay tuned for updates on the Instagram, at Tucker Corner. I would also like to announce the creation of the Tucker's Corner YouTube channel. On the channel, I'll be posting videos where I react to matches from the Premier League, Champions League, and much more. You can search Tucker's Corner on YouTube in order to subscribe. Thank you for all your support through this journey, and I look to make more quality content that you guys enjoy. Thanks.